Thank you, everybody, and I'm going to try to be very brief. I think I was supposed to speak in French, right?
Yeah.
If there's more people who speak English, maybe I can just speak English and people who understand French will get a translation, some translation. Okay, so I'm going to be going very briefly into the situation in Western Africa, specifically in a country called Sierra Leone, which some people know is very close to the West African coast, close to Liberia, and Sierra Leone is at the on the coast. So one first thing that I would like to dismantle as a hypothesis that people make sometimes is that whenever you have stability, the country might benefit from a lot of investment, because that's the type of talk that we've been hearing a lot from the international community, that it is important for African countries, if they want to receive a lot of investment in terms of finances, to make sure that there is no situation of conflict. So the situation is Sierra Leone is showing us very clearly that this is not the case, and it applies also most of the time in all African countries, that wherever you have situation of conflicts, this does not prevent multinational corporations from operating within those countries and making the profits that they would like to make. So it's not really a precondition for countries to have a stable, peaceful country to make sure that investment in there is there. So I wanted to dismantle that consensus that we made most of the time by assuming that once we have a peaceful environment, the money will be flowing more easily. So the situation in Sierra Leone is one of the conflicts that we can categorize as a recent conflict compared to the introduction as is made earlier, because it took place in the early 90s. And the conflict is not really located exactly in Sierra Leone, because it has implications in the whole region. And we have some type of imbrication of so-called political forces that are operating in what we can call today the Mano River region, which is the region comprised between Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. And you have groups that are moving around these three countries that build alliances sometimes, support each other. And what we can say in relation to the rest of Africa is that the common ground on this conflict is the presence of massive natural resources inside the country that some interest groups are trying to expropriate or to get access to. So that's the driving force behind the conflict that's taking place today in Sierra Leone. That's the driving force that is on conflicts in Angola. That's the same in Liberia. So in terms of, if you want to take a look at strategy in order to make sure we minimize those type of conflicts, we have to make the link that these conflicts are generated by interest groups trying to have control over the resources in these countries. This does not deny the fact that you have some type of internal dynamics also, as people mentioned before, of different groups that could be social groups competing in order to have control over the states, because as everybody knows, in most of the African countries, you don't have really a very big or very strong private sector, so all the resources are kind of concentrated within the state. So whoever controls the states kind of control also the resources of the country. So that's why most of the conflicts have this type of very violent tone, because it involves attempts to control the state structure in order to control the natural resources. So you have those two dimensions, which is the internal dynamics of elites trying to control the state, and you have also the external dynamic, which is multinational corporations supported by imperialist forces trying to put hands into the natural resources of the African country. Today the situation is kind of very dangerous, because it's threatening to go beyond Sierra Leone, and it might even go into Guinea, because for the last couple of months we have witnessed a lot of conflicts of armed groups between the region, between Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. And in this region, the main consequence of this conflict is that you have a proliferation of arms within the whole region. And what is important to note at this point is that there's one country that specifically plays a very important role into the rise of this regime, in Liberia and have supported these rebel groups also in Sierra Leone, which was the Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso has played a very important role in trying to, as a hub for fueling the natural resources that are extracted from these countries into the international market. And that's, there has been some findings from the that the regime in Burkina Faso has played a very important role in supporting Savimbi in Angola and making sure that the diamonds are going from Angola, going through Burkina Faso before to reach the Western capitals. And that's the same situation applied also in Liberia. That's why you have this connection between the former regime, the Liberian regime of Charles Taylor, and the president of Burkina Faso, which is who is Blaise Compaoré. So in order to make sure that this type of situation is under control, one solution that has been put in place is the idea to make sure that all the diamonds that are extracted from these regions are kind of targeted and get a number that can be identified as legally going out from these countries. That's one solution that has been put in the case of Angola, and that's another situation that's applied also in Sierra Leone. So from operating from this type of countries where we are located right now, the best way we could do, I guess, it would be to increase support for those procedures of control of resources going from these African countries to reach the markets that are located mostly in the Western Hemisphere. There has been, most likely, these procedures are not perfect. They can be very improved a lot, but it's one solution that has been put in place to make sure that there's a procedure to mark, to step out all the resources, the diamonds that are flowing out, so that we can identify that this one has been taken from, has been commercialized through structures controlled by the state or have been sent out illegally. So that's one of the solutions that we can have to help to enforce by making sure the pressure is put at the right place. And another solution would be to make sure that the question of impunity that is being perpetuated constantly in people trying to mobilize young people and involve them in this type of conflict, that people are held accountable for their acts. Because most of the time, because of the situation of the social condition in which people are living, it's kind of very easy to manipulate young people of 15 years old or 16 years old and embark them into some type of armed conflict in which they don't have nothing to gain. And those who are at the head of these rebel groups, so-called rebel groups, who are recruiting these young people have to be held accountable for their action, and if there is a, there needs to be strong support for a systematic fight against impunity in this type of situation. I won't be that long, and I will be ready to answer some of your questions once we come back.